ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जायामुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवतसेवया भगवति रुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नन्दनाय च नन्दगोपाकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः नमो पङ्कजनाभाय नमो पङ्कजमालिने नमो पङ्कजनेत्राय नमस्ते पङ्कजाङ्ग्रे
हरे कृष्ण वे रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद्भागवतम कैंटो 11 चैप्टर 22 एंटाइटल्ड एलिमेंट्स ऑफ मटेरियल क्रिएशन टेक्स्ट नंबर 53 नृत्यतो गायतः पश्यन् यतेवानुकरोति तान् एवं बुद्धिगुणान् पश्यन् अनीहो अनुकार्यते नृत्यतो गायतः पश्यन् यतेवानुकरोति तान् एवं बुद्धिगुणान् पश्यन् अनीहो अनुकार्यते नृत्यतो गायतः पश्यन् यतेवानुकरोति तान् एवं बुद्धिगुणान् पश्यन् अनीहो अनुकार्यते नृत्यतः पर्सन्स हु आर डांसिंग गायतः एंड सिंगिंग पश्यन् ऑब्जर्विंग यथा जस्ट एज एव इंडीड अनुकरोति इमिटेट्स तान् देम एवं दस बुद्धि ऑफ द मटीरियल इंटेलिजेंस गुणान द एक्वायर्ड क्वालिटीज पश्यन् सीइंग अनीह ऑल्दो नॉट हिमसेल्फ एंगेज्ड इन एक्टिविटी Api nevertheless anukaryate is made to imitate. Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace Srila Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Just as one may imitate persons whom one sees dancing and singing, similarly the soul, although never the doer of material activities, becomes captivated by material intelligence and is thus forced to imitate its qualities. Purport: sometimes people are captivated by professional singers and dancers and imitate within their minds the musical rhythms and melodies of the performers along with their romantic, humorous or heroic emotions. People sing songs heard on the radio and imitate dances and dramatic performances seen on television or in movies and theaters, entering into the emotions and art of the performer. The conditioned soul is similarly captivated by the concoctions of the material mind and intelligence, which convince him that he can become the enjoyer of the material world. Although different from the material body and never the actual performer of its activities, the conditioned soul is induced to engage his body in material activities, which entangle him in the cycle of birth and death. One should not accept the illicit propositions of material intelligence, but rather should engage himself fully in the service of the Lord in Krishna consciousness. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Nama Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripatamaham Vande Shri Guru Dinatarinam Paramananda Madhavam Sri Chaitanyam Ishwaram. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine. Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pachata Deshatarine Vancha Kalpataru Bhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare, Hare Krishna Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare, Hare Krishna Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. We welcome all devotees to Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Temple for the morning Sunday Bhagavatam class. We are reading Uddhava Gita, Lord's instructions to Uddhava. And we are right now reading a very interesting verse where the Lord is telling, Nrityato Gayato Pashyan, just as we imitate singing and dancing of other people, similarly the soul, when it is in a conditioned stage, it imitates Krishna, tries to be an enjoyer of this world. It's a very, very beautiful analogy Krishna is giving about imitating singing and dancing. And in the purport, Ridhanand Maharaj and Gopi Pranadana Prabhu, they explain how, you know, we hear romantic, humorous, heroic things on television and radio, we see or hear, and then we are induced because of our contaminated mind and intelligence to do the same thing in this material world. So what happens is this. The ego, we come to the material world because we want to be the enjoyer like Krishna. So when we come here, the ego is the main dictat. Ego is the diktat. I am the enjoyer. I am the greatest. So the ego's servant is the mind, who is like, yes boss. So his only job is to accept or reject. So when the ego says, I am the enjoyer, and when in the material world, the mind will accept any person as good or reject any person as bad, depending on whether the ego is satisfied or not. And the mind also has one servant, and that is called intelligence. Generally we hear, intelligence is powerful than mind, all the time we hear. But little do we realize that whenever we hear the sentence that intelligence is more powerful than mind, that intelligence refers to spiritual intelligence. That doesn't refer to material intelligence. Because here in this purport, very clearly, the devotees are writing that one should not accept the propositions of material intelligence, illicit proposals. Because what mind does is, mind accepts or rejects. Then intelligence gives reasons why we should accept or reject. Intelligence is a servant of the mind. Unless that intelligence is somebody superior's intelligence. Like, you know, for example, now the ego is what? Like is the unseen boss. Like in many movies and novels. Like I used to read Mandrake comics when I was a child. So there was one octopus, one gang. And the boss, the chief of that was never seen. Ego is never seen. But he is the boss of the syndicate, of this nexus. I am the enjoyer. So then, this is deep rooted. So then somebody comes along and says, he's from the Harvard University, very intelligent, very educated, lot of corporate experience. And he comes and tells you that you are such a nice person. So what is that person done just now? He has pleased whom? The ego. And what is ego's first bodyguard's name? Mr. Mind. So the mind will accept or reject that person? Accept. Mind will say, yes, he's a very nice person. As soon as the mind accepts, intelligence will give reason. See, he's from Harvard. He has corporate experience. He's very intelligent fellow. He is right in his estimation. We should be in touch with him. So intelligence will explain like that. The same fellow, tomorrow if he comes, you come to know that he has told someone that you are a fool. You know, like that, or some negative things about you. So what will the mind do? Ego is disturbed, no? I am not the enjoyer, I am not good. So the mind will rush to the, as a bodyguard, he will rush to protect the ego. What will the mind do to such a person, accept or reject now? Reject. Within 24 hours, the mind has accepted and now it has rejected. And what will intelligence say? You know, Harvard makes you proud. Janmeshwarya Shutah Shribir. Intelligence will quote verses also. So like that, we are constantly trapped by mind, intelligence, two bodyguards whose job is to protect the ego, and they are further servants, the senses, who simply execute the orders of the mind and intelligence. So like this, we are trapped because of the false ego. When we hear Krishna Katha, when we serve devotees, over a period of time the ego gets, when the inner decree is, I am a servant, then the whole thing changes. The real ego is sleeping, fast asleep. We have to wake him up. Once the real ego is woken up, then there is a confusion. Devotees have, you know, kind of perverted reflection of bipolar. We get confused. Many times you'll see devotees are confused because there is an identity clash. I am the enjoyer or I am the servant. But if we listen to the good dog, as Maharaj Radhana Swami Maharaj writes in his Journey Home, if we listen to the voice of the Lord in the heart, who wants us to be in our constitutional position as servant, then we will not imitate Krishna. Otherwise, our imitation game begins when? As soon as we are born. You see children, small children, they play the game of making home. They want to be like their grown-up, their parents. They will cook, they will feed. Have you seen children play? somebody will become mother, somebody will become father. They imitate the grown-up people. And that's where the disease begins. And it goes on till a person becomes full-fledged with all faculties developed. That time also he is imitating. He will be staying in a simple chawl. He must be having very poor income, not much, not rich. But he will see on the television very flamboyant, rich, beautiful and handsome hero and heroine going around in beautiful cars, staying in nice mansions, having flashy gadgets, having beautiful companions. So he starts wanting to imitate them, although he doesn't need a flashy car, although he doesn't need all that glamour. But that imitation bug, the imitation virus will destroy. It has entered our operating system. So that's why you'll see every day 10,000 men enter Mumbai wanting to be Shah Rukh Khan and Salman Khan. Every day, can you imagine? And how many of them actually, most of them become thelawalas. So this imitation game is very intense. Like I met, when I was a young boy, I didn't see so much now. Now I'm seeing a lot of young teenagers, those are just 20s, early 20s, I see a lot of them having beard, mustache. So I was asking recently one devotee, why nowadays I see younger generation has a lot of beard and mustache. He said, then that devotee explained to me that some of the top people in this generation who are the biggest inspiration, they also have that particular kind of beard. And so not that everybody is doing that because they want to imitate. That's not the point I'm making. But many people may imitate. Not everybody does that, of course. That's obvious. So we also imitate. Like, you know, when I was a young boy, we used to imitate all the cricket players at that time. And I remember one person in our club, in our colony where I grew up. I grew up here in South Bombay. So we had one person who was taking care of the few things there. He was an employee. He was coming, traveling all the way from some Virar or somewhere. Very poor fellow. His income was less than 1,000 rupees. I was a teenager and he was a very big man, 25, 26. And I remember his name was Bachchu. And I used to wonder why. Because then I found out one day that his name was actually Rakesh. Rakesh, Rajesh, Ramesh, something like that. But he actually would tell people also, my name is Bachchu. Actually, that was not the problem. The problem was he was actually a great fan and imitator of Amitabh Bachchan. And whenever Amitabh Bachchan's movie would release, he would come to the colony. He would watch the first day, first show. And then he would dress like Amitabh Bachchan in that movie and he would flash those clothes and be like that for 2-3 days. And he was a butt of ridicule and he would waste some 1,000 rupees on the first day, first show. Just wanting to imitate a great performer, great star. So that's how we are living in a world of imitation. We imitate, imitate constantly. And the soul in the conditioned stage, because of the influence of the mind and intelligence, starts imitating Krishna. And when we imitate, can we become happy? No. Why? Jivera Swarupa Hoye Krishnera Nitya Das. Our constitutional position is we are servants of God. But when we try to be God, instead of enjoying with God, when we try to enjoy like God, there is a difference between enjoying with God and enjoying like God. And that will be frustration. Now we are like salt. Salt's position is salty. Chili's position is it is hot. Water is naturally liquid. Right? Similarly, our position is to naturally serve. When Srila Prabhupada was in one place, the lake was filled with ice. Srila Prabhupada took his cane and started hitting that ice and breaking that ice. Devotees were surprised. Why is Srila Prabhupada doing that? Then Srila Prabhupada said, the water's natural position is liquid. Ice is artificial. I am breaking the ice so that the natural position can be seen. Similarly, the soul is servant, blissful in that state. We need pure devotees with their cane-like words to hit our ego. And it's a little painful when the ice is broken. But the real quality of the soul will come out of being a servant. And when we imitate, we can never be happy. You see in children, a child may have a big kit of kitchen. You know, children have this, small girls have this kitchen set. So this girl, a 3-year-old girl, will have all the kitchen utensils in toy form. And she may be cooking. For 5 hours, she may be playing the game of kitchen. But after all the games she has played, when she's really hungry, what does she do?
She goes to mother. And that time, does the mother say, okay, now you made such a big feast for 5 hours, eat that. No, the child also knows, mother also knows, that toy game will not satisfy. I need real food, real prasad. Similarly, we are trying to be imitators in this world. We are doing so many things, but ultimately, the vacuum is there. The pain, the feeling of loneliness is there because we are trying to imitate. When we really want food or love, what we have to do? We have to go to the parent. Who is that parent? Krishna. Then we are satisfied. But unfortunately, we have lived our life so with so much of imitation that we have got disconnected from our own true selves. You know, we don't realize that we are unique actually. Each one of us is very special, very unique. And instead of discovering our true nature as a servant of Krishna, in different ways we could serve Krishna, we try to be smart in this world, we try to be imitators and we suffer. You know, there is a great joy in being a servant, in being insignificant. Because when we are insignificant, at the same time we can also feel wonderful. We can feel loved by Krishna. Otherwise, when we try to be the enjoyer and controller, a gnawing vacuum, it actually engulfs our life. So we have been leading a life of sense gratification, which is like cooking with toys, not satisfied. Then we come to ISKCON and what do we hear? The only happiness is in serving Krishna. But then we go to the other extreme. We talk about Krishna all the time so much, but we don't realize that the conditioning and the habit of imitation has not gone. Because we want to be an enjoyer, so now in the guise of a devotee, I may still imitate. I may imitate Guru. I may imitate Srila Prabhupada. I may call everybody rascal, because Prabhupada said. I may imitate other devotees. Basically, we lose ourselves. Even externally, we may be practicing Krishna consciousness. And how can we know that we are imitating? Simple. You will not be happy in Krishna consciousness. The heart will not be nourished. The head may be active. Like in today's purport, you know, we are reading. Krishna is saying, oh, we are not the body. We are the soul. But the soul is imitating. But this realization that I am a soul will not come through intellectual conviction. We may hear every day that I am not the body, I am the soul. I am not the body, I am the soul. I am not the body, I am the soul. But still we will live and feel and act on the bodily platform. Unless we experience, and that experience at the level of the soul comes through simple practices, simple lifestyle. If you are constantly imitating, you know, like there are impersonalists, they are not having the highest philosophy, but still I have met a few impersonalists who actually live and talk at the level of the soul sometimes. In fact, I have seen some of them more spiritual than we with all the best philosophy. Why? They do simple things, like they practice every day being present. Like they may do breathing. I met one person in Kamathipura area. This was 20 years ago, 15, 20 years ago I met him in one devotee's house. This man, he could sit straight like this for 8 to 10 hours and constant smile and alone, he can just sit. But it's not easy. We may criticize all that is mundane, you know, we have a lot of answers for that. But it's a point to notice, see, it's a point we have to note and we have to understand that there are some simple practices. Like Srila Prabhupada would tell us when chanting, when devotees said, Prabhupada, the mind is disturbing so much. What did Prabhupada say? What is the question of the mind? Just listen to the holy name. What is listen? Listen means be present. Don't analyze too much. Don't think too much. So if you are present, simply present, we are connecting to the soul. We are coming to the level of the soul. And especially during times like Kartik month, Damodar month, you know what is happening now? Love is in the air. Just like, you know, for these animals, lower species, they have what is called as a mating season. So during that time, you can't go around, fool around with those animals. Even if it's a domestic animal, if it's in the mating season, they get wild. So there is a certain period in nature which has been created for lower species to enjoy. And even for human beings, you know, that is like spring season, like that, when they enjoy and all that. Similarly, for spiritualists, there is a season called the Kartik season, the Amudar season, when Krishna gets super excited to fill the conditioned soul's heart with love. But we have to take that one step of being attentive, of being present. So when we are present, the atmosphere is surcharged with spiritual energy. And when we are present, you will see that devotees experience spiritual bliss. They experience at their own level, they experience ananda. They connect to the eternal, conscious and blissful state. Like this is what is happening in Vrindavan every day. Uttaya gopyo pararatra bhoge smritva yashoda sutabala kelim gayanti prochherdadimantayantyo govinda damo dharmadhaveti. Uttaya gopyo, as soon as gopis get up in the morning, smritva yashoda, they immediately remember Krishna's beautiful childhood pastimes. And what do? Gayanti prochher, loudly they start singing as they are churning, dadimanta yantyo, as they are churning the butter, what do they sing? Govinda damo dharmadhaveti. So the gopis are singing about Krishna constantly 24 hours. So when we enter that Vrindavan space in the month of Kartik, we may remember, hear about Krishna. We are present, we are living at the level of the soul. That is an experience. That is not simply intellectual jugglery. It's not word jugglery. Vrindavan all the time. Mandara mule vadanabhiramam bimbadare purita venu nadam go gopa gopi janamadya samstham govinda damo dharmadhaveti. Krishna is standing on the bank of Yamuna under the kadamba tree playing his flute. And his lips are described, bimba dhare puritavenu. Bimba means bimba fruit, reddish fruit. So Krishna's lips are reddish like the bimba fruit. And he has put venu, he has put flute there. And he is playing the flute. And the gopas and gopis are hearing it. Go gopa gopi janamadhya samstam. And they are hearing the names of Krishna. And in fact, even when Krishna is not playing, that sound is lingering in the air. Just like you, when you are walking, you know, once I was walking in the street, I heard some Mohammad Rafi song, old song. Maybe for 2 minutes, I was walking, well, it was going on. Then the song was gone, it was all over, I went. But later on, whole day that kept coming back. This is a perverted reflection of what happens in Vrindavan. Krishna plays flute, and Krishna doesn't play the flute also, the gopas and gopis, everybody is feeling flute is going on. That is the power of Krishna's playing the flute. So this is happening. So if you are present, we connect with this energy. In Kartik month, we constantly hear about Krishna when we are chanting. Because the atmosphere is surcharged with spiritual shakti. That's why if you see in Kartik month, people, devotees do extra bhakti. Because they get that mercy. So this is one way to experience or live at the level of the soul. Let's say you can't be present. You say, Prabhuji, I have to think. You know, thinking addiction I have. Fine. You know, our Premnidhi Prabhu taught me a very good exercise. He gave me a needs and feelings card. So you can go one step backwards in your life and understand what you are feeling now and what is the unmet need that is causing that feeling. So when we improve our awareness, also we are coming closer to living at the level of the soul. Generally we feel angry or we feel different emotions. But when we are aware of what we are feeling, we have gone one step backwards. So these are the different ways, and one of the most powerful ways is to practice observation without judgment. See, we have to practice judgment, we have to discriminate. But there are some moments in our lives when we should not judge. We should just observe without judging. And if you do that, you will see immediately your consciousness and your awareness is quasi-spiritualized. It's spiritual. Like for example, you know, we are so conditioned to judge that we don't even know what is observation and what is judgment. Like if I say, Rohit Sharma is a very good cricket player, Is it an observation or a judgment? Observation. Judgment. It's a good judgment, but it's a judgment. But if I say Rohit Sharma has scored so many, like say 5 centuries in 5 matches, that is an observation. So generally if you see, we don't speak what we observe. We speak a judgment. So that may be needed, but do we spend at least some time in a day when we are only observing without judging or trying to observe without judging? That is the way we actually come out of the body, mind, intelligence nexus. We enter a space of the soul. But unfortunately, even in the dress of devotees, I may be constantly judging all the time. And there is no experience of soul. And on top of it, I imagine that I am having the highest philosophy of the soul. We are not the body, we are the soul. So therefore, in the month of Kartik, at least, let us be honest that we have the highest philosophy, but we are at the bodily level. And as we march ahead, as we try to be conscious, as we try to practice spiritual life, being present and listening to the holy names, as we are trying to be present, let us also honor our bodily identification. Let us not be in denial. Let us come to terms with our humanity, the bodily existence that we have. Can't just say, no, I'm the soul. We have to honor that and at the same time practice present moment living, chant, listening to the holy names. Then that's how we march forward. Otherwise, we are in extremes. Complete sense gratification at the bodily level, or artificially we talk about living at the level of the soul. I remember when I was a new devotee, I would often hear devotees quote this maxim, very famous. We are not human beings with spiritual experience. What is that? We are spiritual beings with human experience. Nowadays I tell devotees sometimes when they are stressed, I say, Prabhu, you are not a spiritual being with human experience. You are a human being with spiritual experience. Sometimes we need to understand that although I am the soul, I am not the body, but I have this body. And that's why we have Varnashrama in Vedic society, to help live like a proper human life with God in the center. What happens? We live an animalistic life. From animalistic life, we come to divine life, Krishna consciousness. But we also need to have a human life centered on Varnashram and have a regulated life where eating, sleeping, mating, defending is in balance, is in order. And if we deny it, we are only frustrating ourselves. I remember once I was doing a program for a few scientists and I was talking about Krishna consciousness, and in the middle of the class I mentioned that I am an ISKCON devotee, so our main presentation is about Krishna and Bhagavad Gita. This is the exact words I used in the class. But sometimes while giving class, we give other examples and people catch those examples. Like one day when I was giving class, I mentioned that, you know, I discovered some very amazing medicine, natural medicine, by which your constipation problems can forever be solved. But that is not what is our goal of life. We as ISKCON preachers, we are supposed to give Krishna. So this is the whole class I gave for 45 minutes. And all scientists were sitting. So one scientist couple, after the class, they met me. Very good class. They were both husband and wife, were scientists for many years. They were talking, and then finally that Prabhuji and Mataji said, Prabhuji, what is that medicine? Can you tell? I said, what medicine? I had forgotten that I had given that example. But then immediately, Prabhu, that stomach clearing tablet, what is that? So then I realized that we may talk big philosophy, we may talk about Krishna, we should. But if you are suffering from basic mental bodily issues, then we have to do the needful. Otherwise, we will try to fulfill those through purely spiritual activities. I'll give an example. Recently I was in Udupi, just when Kartik began, and Udupi, all of you know, is the headquarters of Madhva Sampradaya. So in Udupi, every year Kartik month, in evening time, they have a very special program in the temple courtyard. For 2 hours, 20-25 Brahmins, they surround one huge tulsi plant which is kept in the center, and they dance and sing beautiful bhajans of Lord Narayan and Tulsi and Krishna. And they sing in meter and they dance very rhythmically. They go forward, turn left. So five of them will turn left, five of them will turn right, anti-clockwise, clockwise, forward, backward. It's so wonderful that if you watch it for 1 second, you will not be able to get up for the next 2 hours. Because that performance, they are actually performing with such grace, so much beauty that you will be mesmerized when you see that. So I was watching, so I had gone with a group of devotees. I had programs from Manipal, we had taken a car, a vehicle, and there were a few couples, few boys, and Matajis, Prabhujis, they were watching. Very satisfying for me. So after that we were going back, we were in the car. So as we were going back, I said, ah, full ananda aya, nahi? Maja aya. Kitna achha laga. What do you say? I asked. The Prabhuji was driving the car. His wife was sitting behind. And there was another couple also sitting behind. And there was another car. Different people were there. So when this, I asked, ananda aya. So nice. What do you say, Prabhu? He was driving. He said, Prabhu, it was very good, but you know, it was so good that I am feeling not happy, because you know, I should not forget chanting Hare Krishna and our Krishna consciousness, because Gaudiya Vaishnavism is the highest, no? ISKCON is what Prabhupada has given is the best actually. So it was good, but our chanting, you know, like we should chant more and we should be really connected to ISKCON and Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. Did you hear what I said? The conversation? This is exactly what happened last week. So now if you were in my place, how will you respond to this devotee when he said this? Like you tell, just imagine you are saying, ah, ananda, and then this devotee says, but Prabhupada ko nahi bolna chahiye, chanting 16 rounds. So how will you respond to this? I want to ask some of you. Before I tell you how I responded, what will you say if you are in my position? To this devotee. And this devotee, mind you, he has been chanting Hare Krishna. He and his wife are initiated. He has been chanting Hare Krishna for 10 years. He is a very senior neurosurgeon, very well qualified. Yeah, he should be. Rather than compare. Or. Yeah, you feel he is a little fanatic. Thank you. For talking straight. Yes. Yes. Maybe you didn't enjoy. Very good. You didn't enjoy at all. Yes, anything else? Very good answers actually. I liked all the three answers. Thank you. Yes, Prabhu. Beautiful. If you had actually chanted nicely, you would have enjoyed that. You would have actually relished that Tulsi puja that was going on there. Thank you. Very, very good observation. I'll tell you what I answered. I looked back to his wife. I said, Mataji, what will you respond to this your Prabhuji's statement that, Are, we should not forget Prabhupada, ye amara parampara nahi hai. He said, ye Gaudiya nahi hai, Gaudiya highest hai. So she said, when I asked her face frowned, she frowned. She said, Prabhuji should, because they are from Punjab. So she said, Prabhuji should go back to Punjab, no? Why has he come here then? So I laughed. So Prabhuji felt a little bad. Then he looked at me. Prabhuji, but sai hai na, we are, you know, ours is the highest. No? So then I said, Prabhu, if you can't see Krishna here, you will not see Krishna in ISKCON temple also. You will not see Krishna in your bead bag also. You can't. Because you are practicing bhakti in the head, not in the heart. This is Madhva Sampradaya. They are doing Tulsi Puja. They are not doing some sense gratification. And they are chanting Narayan's names. And they are doing it so beautifully. And here also you are feeling insecure. Aray, hum bhul jayenge Krishna ko. Aray, aap Krishna ko yaad hi kahan kiye? So then I told him, Prabhu, there is a space beyond right and wrong. There is a space beyond highest and lowest. We experience Krishna in that space. Sahi, galat, achha, bura ke upar bhi ek jagah hota hai. Wahan pe hum Krishna ko experience karte. Unfortunately, we are always talking about ours is best, ours is lowest, theirs is lowest. So then when I told this to him, he understood, but immediately he said, I said, Prabhu, you are restricting Krishna to your bead bag and DT form. That is, you are simply a refined Kanishta Adhikari. I was not telling him, I was saying when we do that, we are simply a refined Kanishthadi. So he said, Prabhuji, but Prabhupada said we should be afraid of Maya and we should not get deviated and we should not forget Krishna. I said, Prabhupada did not tell us to be obsessed with Maya. He said we should respect Maya Devi. Just like I told him, he was driving the car and we were entering Manipal, which is a little on a hilly area. So I said, when you are driving on a hilly area in your car and you see lot of boards put up, which says, school ahead, drive cautiously, or dangerous curve, slow down, speed breaker ahead, you seen all this? So what does the driver do? Does he stop? Oh, dangerous curve ahead. Oh, dangerous curve ahead. Does he call up everyone? Oh, there is a dangerous curve ahead. Or does he ignore it and just go on driving? No, he sees that, he understands the seriousness and accordingly adjusts, but he keeps driving forward. He doesn't stop or he doesn't drive recklessly. Similarly, when we hear about Maya Devi, we have to respect Maya Devi, but that doesn't mean we sit and this is dangerous, I may forget Krishna. No, we understand what is Maya. So I told him, Prabhu, ask yourself, is your march forward happening? Are you driving forward in bhakti or are you stuck somewhere? If you were actually chanting and experiencing Krishna, as Prabhuji rightly said, 10 years you are chanting, you would have actually seen Krishna here. Because he is my close friend, I could take liberty with him and because I have no right to speak to others like that. I am myself struggling. But the point I am trying to say is that Rupa Goswami says Kanishtha Adhikari is one who sees Krishna only in deities and can't see Krishna in devotees and other things. So we become Kanishtha Adhikari, but little refined, that's all. Like I know one devotee who received a death threat in email from another devotee. Hare Krishna Prabhu, please accept humble obeisances, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. You are right now not in Mumbai, so wherever you are, stay there. The day you come, that will be the last day of your life. Your servant, Krishna Das. So, we can become jihadists also. Although externally we may be a devotee. Like, you know, in this Tulsi Vivaha program, this was happening in Udupi. This was what? A devotee was feeling insecure. Who are these terrorist people? They are also insecure people. They say our religion khatre mein, so they want to kill everyone. They are undeveloped pranamaya kosha. Basically, we have these five koshas which cover the soul. Sheaths, you know, like talwar myan mein rakhte hain. The soul is covered by five layers. The outermost covering which we see, this body, skin, this is annamaya kosha. And inside that is a pranamaya kosha. Prana, the air, life air in the body. And then there is manomaya kosha, the feelings, relationships, etc. And then there is vijnanamaya, the wisdom body. And finally there is anandamaya kosha, pure bliss. So those are in annamaya kosha, means only thinking of food. Basically pleasure. Annamaya kosha means pleasure. Pleasure conscious. Pranamaya kosha means protection conscious. Protection. Am I safe? I am not safe. Always, those who are always in anxiety, breathing gets affected. And Mumbai is a place where maximum Mumbaiites have problem with pranamaya kosha. Always running. Can you imagine Mumbai, 20 million people, no, staying here? 28,000 people per square kilometer. There are cities in Europe and in Australia, I went to one city, Perth. The population density there is one. One person per square kilometer. And Mumbai, it is 28,000 people living in one square kilometer. So how much? Always running for train, for bus. There is a scarcity mindset. Everything is, abhi chala jayega, abhi pakadna hai. So pranamaya kosha, always insecure. Always living in fear. Scarcity mindset. So that has a terrible effect. So annamaya kosha is what conscious? Pleasure. Pranamaya kosha is what conscious? Protection. Manomaya kosha, all about, you know, peace, shanti. They are the ones who always talk about, are, pyar karo, relationships rakho, dosti rakho. That's the only thing. They can't talk anything beyond. Manomaya kosha mein matlab, achha, are, usne mujhe aisa dekha, matlab, he doesn't like me. Like, not like, love, these are the only talks. Peace, I want some peace. Vijnanamaya kosha, those who live in Vijnanamaya Kosha, they are the ones who always look about purpose. They go deeper on deeper topics they discuss. And Anandamaya Kosha is pure bliss. So in a preaching program, if you are doing a satsang program, you will find people living in all the five koshas coming for the program. For those who are in Annamaya Kosha, if they miss a program 1 week, they'll call up, or if they get a phone call after 2 days, "Arey, aap aaye nahi program?" First thing they'll ask, "Prasad mein kya tha?" This is Annamaya Kosh. Yeah, first, "Arey, Prabhuji ne kya joke bola class mein?" Pleasure, entertain, I want to get entertained. So modern times, people are in high Annamaya Kosh. Matlab Annamaya Kosh itna undeveloped hai, evolved nahi hai, usi mein rehte hain. There are some who live in Pranamaya Kosh. So when they come for a program, they look for networking with somebody, get some business contact, or kuch apna security badao, aray uske baad business kar sakte, ye kar sakte. And sab cheez mein pehla jayenge line mein, or whatever, basically. There's some, they are living in that scarcity, fear, insecurity space. And then there is Manomaya Kosha. They say, "I go for this program because, ah, Prabhuji kitna pyar karte hai humko. There is love. Arey, wo mere achche dost hain. Yahan pe achche dost milenge." Yeah, or you know, it's all about feeling good, liking, smiling. "Arey, usne smile nahi kiya. Arey, wo aisa dekha usne mujhe. He must be thinking like that. He said like that. He spoke to me about that." Oh, always in that mental world. So Manomaya Kosha. I see below. And there are some people who live in Vijnanamaya Kosha. They will ask, "Arey, program miss hua. What did Prabhuji speak? Kya bola? Kaun sa shlok quote kiya? Kya tha? Uska main message kya tha?" They are wanting to go deeper and understand. And Anandamaya Kosha is, they are blissful. Koi bhi speaker aayega udhar, they will hear. They will do service. They will chant. Kirtan mein humko maja aayega. They are actually experiencing taste in bhakti. So you ask yourself, when you come to a sangha, predominantly at what kosha we are living in. And Annamaya, Pranamaya, Manomaya is important, but it is the I space. It is the I world. We actually enter Krishna space when we live in Vijnanamaya and Anandamaya Kosh. But we don't take care of our Annamaya, Pranamaya, Manomaya. We don't take care of the first three koshas. So what we do is, in our Krishna conscious practice, through the practice we try to address our Annamaya, Pranamaya and Manomaya needs. And that's why when some devotee sometimes may say, "Oh, you know, you are chanting Hare Krishna, but you need to do all this also for your mental illness may not go away by chanting Hare Krishna." If a devotee says that, immediately you will become insecure. "Hare, chanting se nahi hoga theek? Chanting to sab kuch hai." You are fearful. "Oh, you are deviating from the philosophy." So when we get such thoughts, or basically it's a reflection of a very, very gross living in the Pranamaya Kosha. "Arey, Prabhuji, you are speaking like that? Aaj class mein aisa bola apne, wo Tulsi program aisa tha, itna achha tha. Matlab, Gaudiya Vaishnava is not highest." So when you start entering those kind of thoughts, that means our koshas are not developed. We have not worked on our Annamaya, Pranamaya and Manomaya Kosha. And the proof of that is, if you are unable to harmonize different devotees' understanding of Krishna consciousness, that is a sign of undeveloped koshas. If you have difficulty in appreciating different devotees with different talents, different outlooks, that is a proof of undeveloped koshas. If you are not able to honor genuine human beings, basically, we can't. That means we have not taken care of our koshas. We have a long way to go before we experience Krishna. Therefore, we have to take care of these koshas. And Srila Prabhupada was not like that. He was not at all a fanatic. If you see Srila Prabhupada once on a morning walk in Juhu, you know, in Juhu temple, when you turn left and go, what do you get? Beach. On the left side were palm trees, on the right was the ocean. And early morning, pre-dawn hours, Prabhupada is on a morning walk with Dr. Patel. Dr. Patel was Srila Prabhupada's morning walk companion. And Prabhupada would make fun of him, call him rascal, and he would laugh. He would say, "Yes, Prabhupada, I am rascal." And after Prabhupada left this world, Dr. Patel wrote an article in BTG on Prabhupada, saying that the only person who called me rascal and I loved it. That was the title of the article. So they would go on morning walk and Prabhupada's disciples would be there. So on this particular day, Srila Prabhupada stopped as he was walking and he looked at the sky. And he said, Ah, this guy is so beautiful. This is Krishna. So devotees are stunned. And then Prabhupada said, Om Purnam Mada Purnam Idam. This sky is complete and perfect because it is created by Krishna. So Dr. Patel was observing, and then Srila Prabhupada turned left. All the palm trees were there, and Prabhupada said, look at these trees. Vrikshayoni. Vrikshayoni means condemned species. But still they are complete and perfect, created by Krishna. Again Prabhupada quoted the verse from Isha Upanishad. So Dr. Patel said, Prabhupada, this trees and the sky, they are all representatives of Krishna, no? And Prabhupada said, yes. And then Prabhupada gave Vedic physics. He said, Anu means atom. Paramanu means sub-atom. Andantarastha paramanu chayantarastham. Prabhupada said, when paramanu, six times you add paramanu, that means it becomes one Anu. Six subatomic particles become one atom. But then Dr. Patel said, Prabhupada, Krishna enters into each of these subatoms and the atom, so Krishna is there in all of that. And immediately Prabhupada said, yes, you have understood Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada said, this is the purpose of human life, to see Krishna in everything. Purpose of human life is not to live like dogs and hawks. And all devotees laughed. And we also laugh when we hear Prabhupada say hawks and dogs. But if you see in this conversation, there are two aspects. One was Prabhupada said the purpose of human life is to see Krishna in everything. And also he said those who don't do this, they are hawks and rascals. So those who Vijnanamaya Kosha, those who live in the Vijnanamaya Kosha space, they will be attracted to the first part of the conversation. And those who primarily in Pranamaya Kosha, insecure whether what I am doing is the best or not good, they will immediately jump on rascal. See, rascal, all those who don't practice Krishna consciousness are rascal. Because we want to have a high moral ground for my practice of bhakti. So then in that conversation, Prabhupada said, one devotee said, Prabhupada, but how can we realize and how can we see Krishna in everything? Prabhupada said, we need sadhu sangha. And that was the month of January. So now that time there was Magha Mela going on. Kumbh Mela was about to start. So Dr. Patel, now he wanted to sometimes win favor and approval of Prabhupada. In the conversation, sometimes he would debate with Prabhupada. Sometimes he would speak in such a way that Prabhupada becomes happy so that he can get his certificate, approval of Prabhupada. So he was there. So when Prabhupada said, Sadhu Sangha, so Dr. Patel immediately said, yes, Prabhupada, we need Sadhu Sangha. See, instead of Sadhu Sangha, our people are all, Indian people are going to Kumbh Mela. Ha ha ha, he started laughing. So he thought by saying that, he is ridiculing the most of the Hindus who go there. But he was surprised, Prabhupada immediately stopped walking. He put his cane on the ground firmly and very gravely he said, he corrected Dr. Patel. He said, no, Kumbh Mela is also Sadhu Sangha. So many people come there, they are not interested in material. Very spiritual. Anyway, this is a long pastime. You'll see a lot of Prabhupada's conversations like that. But if we cherry pick, you know, we pick up only those things which we try to use to take care of our Annamaya, Pranamaya, Manomaya Kosha, we'll never really enter Krishna's space. We'll never really understand or ask questions, what Krishna wants from me? What is my journey? You know, now you may say, okay, Prabhuji, you have a problem, but what is the solution? Simple. Srila Prabhupada said often, do the needful. Which means, for some, do the needful means, while doing bhakti, somebody may have to take up, do some PhD also, study something. For somebody, do the needful means, while chanting Hare Krishna, you may also need some psychological help. For somebody, do the needful means, take care of parents. Like, you know, once Isolina Radhana Swami Maharaj was giving Sunday feast class here. I remember that class. He began by speaking about Kaushalya, mother of Lord Ram. Then he spoke on Devaki, then Yashoda, then all the mothers in Krishna consciousness. Then finally he spoke about Sachi Mata. Then he spoke about Prabhupada's mother. 2.5 hour class on all the different mothers. And after the class ended, he said, all of you, I please request you, please pray for my mother. Today is her third anniversary of passing away from this world. So he wanted devotees to give blessings and pray for his mother. And even today, Maharaj's father is 96 years old. So Maharaj every day calls him and talks to him for half an hour to 1 hour on the phone. So what I'm saying is, this is do the needful, you know. We are connected to Krishna and we need to see Krishna in all aspects in our, so that's what I'm saying in our, like, you know, Prahladanand Maharaj, for example. If you see, when he speaks, only shlokas come from his mouth. Like once he was giving class, Radhanath Maharaj was in the audience, he said, Prahladanand Maharaj has come from shloka loka. Beautiful shlokas he'll quote. But he also does yoga. He is a health minister. And such perfect. So, you know, this annamaya, pranamaya, manomaya, kosha, we have to take care of it. We have to do the needful. Like one devotee couple I know in US, that Prabhuji gets up at 2 o'clock in the morning, completes 16 rounds before 4:30, before Mangalarti, and after Mangal morning program, whole day does temple management, the temple president, whole day both husband and wife do intense seva. And a lot of people get inspired by them, and they also do, they take up to Krishna consciousness with so much enthusiasm. Now, most of the people don't know that this couple, once a year in the month of December, after the marathon, January, they take 1 month off and they go to Hawaii and they stay and they relax and they spend time with each other, they connect to each other. And they actually take a holiday. Now we don't talk about it. So that is fine. We are on the Vyasasana. We have to speak about Krishna, and especially the month of Kartik, we want to connect to Krishna. But it is important that you do the needful. Because for many devotees I have seen, Krishna consciousness is one aspect of their life. It is not everything. Like they have their family, they have their job, they have their business, they have their insurance. So many things. Maybe 10% of their day is for Krishna. Let's say. Example. Hypothetical. 10% is for Krishna. 90% is other things. So they come to ISKCON program on a Sunday and they hear the Bhagavatam class. And the speaker gives 100% Krishna only. So 100% talk is addressing only 10% of your life. And you have to take care of your 90% also. That is a reality, you know. Annamaya, pranamaya, manamaya is a reality. But what you do, you may say, Are Krishna, Prabhupada ne bola na, Krishna will take care of everything. I may not want to live a life of responsibility. I may not want to do something about, I may have to do the needful. But to avoid that, I may say, Krishna will take care, Prabhuji said, no. So what I am doing is, I am ignoring the 90% and hoping that this 10% will make everything alright. Of course that will. But if we are in denial of our needs, then we are digging our own grave. Because denial is the worst kind of lie. Because that is a lie you speak to yourself. And then you don't need other enemies because you are thinking, oh, everything will happen. Like I'll give you, in Krishna consciousness, if you see, it's all ecstasy. What's happening in Vrindavan, it's mind-blowing. How the gopas and gopis live. Like for example, a gopi comes to Vrindavan selling curd items, milk items. So Vila Mangal Thakur says, Vikri Tukaman Khila Gopa Kanya Murari Padar Pita Chit Vritti Dadyadikam Mohavashadavochad Govinda Damodara Madhaveti. So this Mataji, this gopi came to sell all the curd items and the milk products. Vikri Tukaman Kilago. But she was thinking of who? Murari Padar Pita Chitta. Our consciousness was filled with Krishna's lotus feet. So when she came to Vrindavan, she wanted to say, what she wanted to say? Buy this, buy the curd products, please buy these milk sweets. But she was influenced by Krishna's thoughts so much, she got into illusion. Dadyadikam moha. And in that moha, instead of saying, please buy curd, she said, Govinda, Damodara, Madhavit. So like Vrindavan, if you see, everybody is chanting Krishna's names. They're in ecstasy. So when we come to Hare Krishna, we get that experience of bhakti, the Guru Puja, Kirtan, the deity worship, that ecstasy. We also like Hari Bol, you know, we are also always chanting Krishna's names. But that doesn't mean you ignore your annamaya, pranamaya and manomaya. So what happens? Very important responsibilities which has to be taken care And in those areas we say, Hari Bol, Krishna will take care. Prabhuji, Krishna will do everything. And then there are some areas where we have to actually give up and depend on Krishna. And those areas we become attached. Like somebody may say, somebody may have very important things to do at his home front, but he may say, Hari Bol, Krishna will do. Like I know one devotee whose daughter was, you know, his relation with his daughter was getting spoiled. So he basically needed to spend time with her. Instead, he said, Prabhuji, this problem was happening. So instead of 16, I started chanting 32 rounds every day. So I was thinking, that means 2 hours more. I was thinking if he had spent 2 hours with his daughter every day for maybe 2-3 months, wow, what a relationship, kitna acha ho jata tha. Anyway, then 32 rounds, then the daughter relationship strained more. So Krishna will take care, but you have to do the needful, you have to be practical. We can't just say, Hari Bol. That's what this devotee did. But there are areas where we actually have to depend on Krishna. Like, you know, I don't know Krishna, but then there I get attached. I want this position. I want to be the president. I want to be leader. Or somebody said something, we get upset. Are, but that time you don't understand Krishna is the doer. That time we forget. And we take out of context. Like in Vrindavan, all the gopas and gopis would meet every day morning for a conference. Grihe grihe gopavadu kadamba sarve militva samavaya yoge punyani namani patanti nityam govinda damodara madaveti. So all the gopas and gopis would meet sarve militva samavaya yoge, and they would do yoga every day morning. They would come together, and what yoga they would do? Punyani namani patanti nityam. They would chant the most auspicious names of Govinda, Damodara, Madhava. So when I hear this, I get inspired. And what do I do? Our yoga is Hare Krishna. Right? No, we do. We chant Hare Krishna. We also do yoga. We may have to do yoga for your health. That's why I said Annamaya, Pranamaya, Mano. We have to take care. We can't say, abhi kuch nahi karna hai bas, abhi bhakti karna hai. Then you have to be ready to pay the price. You can't complain then. So therefore, my humble presentation is, let us absorb in Krishna and let us practice Krishna consciousness with great enthusiasm. And at the same time, let us not ignore our Annamaya, Pranamaya and Manomaya koshas. Because Krishna consciousness is so powerful and so attractive and so enchanting that we can get wrong understanding if we don't have proper association. We may think, I don't have to do anything. Krishna will take care. Krishna never did that. But Krishna consciousness is definitely enchanting. It is so powerful and attractive that even Krishna gets attracted. Like, you know, in Vrindavan, Mother Yashoda, she is constantly chanting Krishna's names. So when she wants to call Krishna, Kridantamantar Vrajamatmanam Swam Samam Vayasyai Pashupala Bale Premna Yashoda Ajuhava Krishnam Govinda Damodara Madhaveti. In Sarartha Darshini, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur explains very beautifully the mood behind this verse. So Yashoda is calling Krishna. Krishna is playing with his friends. Now Mother Yashoda wants to call Krishna to take lunch. Now she goes. Now she doesn't go too close to Krishna to catch him. Why? Because she feels if I go close and call Krishna, Krishna may run away seeing me. So staying at a little distance, she says, Krishna, come for prasad. Krishna ignores his mother. Then Yashoda says, now, actually first Rohini goes. Rohini fails. Then she tells Yashoda. Yashoda calls, Krishna doesn't listen. Then Mother Yashoda says, Krishna, you should come because your father is hungry. He is waiting for you. So she hopes that by hearing this, Krishna will come. Then also Krishna doesn't come. Then she invokes Krishna's charity mood. She says, Krishna, you know, you should give charity to the brahmanas, come, take baths, so like that. That also Krishna ignores. Then she invokes competitive spirit. She says, Krishna, see, you know, your friends, so many friends have taken bath, they are taking prasad. So like that, she tries to, in different ways to get Krishna, Krishna doesn't come. But then she finally rushes and catches Krishna and gets him. So when Krishna is going with Mother Yashoda, other friends say, oh Krishna, you are not playing with us, you are leaving the game, right when the game is in the peak. But then Krishna immediately leaves, his mother comes back to play. But then mother is constantly calling, Govinda, Damodara, Madhava. And everybody in Vrindavan is calling Krishna's names. So the descriptions is amazing. Like, you know, the gopi, one gopi is teaching her parrot to sing. Kachit karamboja pute nishannam krida shukam kim shukarakta tundam adhyapayana sasaroruhakshi govinda damodaramadaveti. For this gopi has her beautiful lotus eyes, her beauty is described, her hands cup, she has put it in a cup form and hands are also lotus like. And the parrot, she has a parrot in her cage which has red beaks and she is training this parrot. Skalat giram vacha hitum, in the broken verse the parrot is being told to chant Govinda, Damodara, Madha, everybody is chanting Krishna's names. For the result of all of this is, Krishna consciousness is so powerful, Krishna's names are so enchanting, that what happens to Krishna? When Krishna is caught by Mother Yashoda and tied to a wooden grinding mortar, you know what Krishna does? Yashodaya gadamulukhalena Gokanta Pashena Nibadyamana Ruroda Mandam Navanita Bhoji Govinda Damodara Madhaveti. Yashodaya Gadam. Yashoda has very intense love. Ulukkalena, and she has tried Krishna. Gokanta Pashena Nibadyamana, so that Krishna doesn't run away. But when Krishna is tied to the wooden grinding mortar by Mother Yashoda, you know what is Krishna doing? He is crying. Initially when he was running away from Mother Yashoda, he was pretending to cry. Sanatana Goswami says. But then when actually she caught him, Krishna was really crying. Rurodha mandam navanita bhoji. He is a plunderer of butter. And that plunderer, lutera, he is crying. Rurodha mandam. And he is breathing heavily. And as he is crying, what is he saying? Govinda Damodara Madhaveti. Krishna is also chanting his own name. Because everybody in Vrindavan is saying Govinda Damodara Madhava. So when Krishna is caught, he is also saying Govinda Damodara Madhava. It's like in ISKCON, you know, for everything we say Haribol. If somebody gets married, we say Haribol. Somebody goes through a divorce, Haribol ho gaya. Somebody gets a job, we say Haribol Prabhu. And somebody, are job se nikal diya, Haribol ho gaya. So like that in Vrindavan, like we say Haribol in ISKCON, in Vrindavan they say Govinda, Damodara, Madhava, Haribol, like that. So if when we get, so Krishna consciousness is so enchanting that we get into this Haribol consciousness. It's so easy because Krishna is all attractive. But that doesn't mean our feet gets off the ground. No, our feet has to be firmly on the ground. Otherwise our bhakti will also become Haribol. And we will become impractical. We will talk very utopian ideals. So therefore, let us stay grounded and let us not imitate anyone. Especially, let us not imitate the enjoyer mood of trying to be like Krishna. But rather in the mood of a servant, let us humbly, knowing our limitations, take care of our annamaya, pranamaya, manomaya koshas. And also spend quality time being present, listen to Krishna's holy names and experience the soul level living, where the soul experiences divine bliss in connection to Krishna's holy names, in worship of Krishna's deities, in hearing Krishna Katha. So this way we can make our lives perfect. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Any corrections or comments or questions? Thank you very much for your kind attention. Gantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Shira Prabhupad ki jai. Kartik Maas ki jai. Shri Vrindavan Dham ki jai. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, there's an announcement. We have found a Jio SIM card in Temple Hall during Guru Puja Kirtan. So if somebody has lost it, they can come.